Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, August the 11th. Today, we're going to look at a very interesting story in South America where you now have Venezuelans who are actually reaching Ecuador, and they do it through Colombia. I mean, they literally walk, I guess, through, it must be from some of the isolated areas in Colombia, but it's really an amazing story. We're also going to look at a post that I wrote a couple of days ago over at the American Thinker, where China is now interested in babies. You know, they've had a policy for a long time, the so-called one baby policy. Well, apparently they figured out that that policy is not a good idea. And they are now talking about having babies. In fact, they call it a matter of national security, having babies. Very interesting turnaround in China. And also an interesting development with respect to the elections of 2018. You know that there's something called a generic ballot, which is a ballot that several polling organizations take. And now they use different means, okay, to take these polls. Some do adults, others do registered voters, others do likely voters. We like to focus on the ones that do likely voters because I think those are the more realistic ones. But anyway, across the board, there has been a tightening of these polls, which, of course, raises a lot of questions as to exactly what's going to happen in November, because traditionally when these polls tighten up, we don't really know what's going to happen in November. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But I want to begin by remembering something that happened on this day in 1984. In fact, I have a post about this over at Babalu, the wonderful Cuban-American blog, as well as over on my blog. I reprinted it over there. And it's what happened on this day in 1984 when President Ronald Reagan, you know, President Reagan sort of brought back the radio address. Presidents like FDR made a wonderful art out of the so-called fireside chats. The president, Roosevelt back then, would go into the homes of millions of Americans through the radio. Now, those fireside chats were in the evening, and he would talk to the country about what was going on, the depression, what he was doing. It was kind of an update. It was sort of like the tweet of the 1930s, if I could put it that way, where he would go directly to millions of Americans through the radio. And it became a very effective tool for President Roosevelt. And for a while there, presidents did not continue that tradition, probably because maybe they didn't feel comfortable on the radio. I mean, the radio obviously is an important medium, but you got to know how to talk to people. And President Reagan, who himself had been a radio host, and not just doing radio news, but he also did play-by-play of both baseball and the NFL back then, and college football. He was very comfortable behind the microphone on the radio. So he restarted the whole tradition of the presidential radio address. So every Saturday morning, he would give a radio address, and it was very effective. I mean, he communicated with lots and lots of people. You know, you're out Saturday morning maybe doing some errands, or you're out working in the yard or whatever, and there was President Reagan on the radio with an address. It became a very effective way for him to communicate his thoughts with the American people. Well, on this day in 1984, President Reagan demonstrated that he was a genius, really a man of incredible talent behind the microphone, as well as a man with an incredible sense of humor. He was about to go on the air, and very often, you know, before you go on the air, they want to do a microphone check, what they call a mic check. So they ask you to maybe tap on the phone or say something to test your voice. And President Reagan looks at the microphone, he taps the microphone, and then he says something along these lines: "My fellow citizens, I've just signed legislation to do away with Russia, and we'll start bombing in 5 minutes. Obviously, it was meant as a joke, but it went over the air. He didn't realize that it went over the air. And of course, you know, you had the usual selective indignation, but I think most Americans took it for what it was. It was a hilarious joke, and it became something that he himself later used to joke about. I guess he even joked about it when he met the Russians a couple of years later. But it was Reagan being the effective communicator that he was. And that's such a talent that no one, I think, has ever had like Reagan. I think, President Obama was a wonderful communicator, but I don't think he ever really reached people the same way President Reagan did. I just think that President Reagan communicated not just a policy or a feeling, but he communicated something that is very difficult for presidents to communicate, and that's a certain connection with the American people. So I will tell you that I did not listen to this particular radio address back in 1984 on this day. This is one that I miss. I used to listen to them because on Saturday mornings I would often be out. These addresses were like at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I would often be out in the car doing this or doing that, so that's how I would hear the address. And this particular one I missed, but I read about it later. And I think you can go to YouTube, I believe, and listen to the little thing, the hilarious little, tapping on the microphone, and, the planes are on their way to blow up Russia. But it was just Reagan, being the great communicator and just being a man who, in so many ways, really knew how to communicate. And as far as the radio was concerned, obviously, FDR had a very unique talent. And if you listen to many of his fireside chats, I've heard many of them, they were absolutely excellent because he was talking to a nation that was deeply, a nation that needed some inspiration. And there's no question that FDR gave that to the country very often through those radio addresses. So it's difficult to compare anybody to FDR because of their unique situation that the country was in back then. But in our time, when Reagan was president, there was just a way of communicating a positive outlook. And he did that. He did that every single time when he was on the radio. So we remember President Ronald Reagan on this day in 1984, and the wonderful, this wonderful little bit about, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to blow up Russia, of course, not realizing that this was going to go over the air. But anyway, we love Reagan. What a wonderful moment that was. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guerrero Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlo's website on the show information right under the show description. You can see the link that will take you to his schedule, and hopefully you'll have a chance to see him around town. He's playing everywhere, it seems like, and you got to follow that busy schedule of his. But he's a wonderful friend of our show, and we wish him the very best as he gets around town. On this day in 1973, just a little note here for the baby boomers. On this day in 1973, the movie American Graffiti was released. It was actually a very low-budget film. It had, this is one of those, I guess, films they make with a very low budget, hoping to maybe, make a few bucks and that's it. Well, this movie turned out to be one of the most profitable movies in Hollywood history because they had a very low budget, but the movie did amazing. Receipts and tickets. And not only that, but there was a soundtrack of the movie that was also very successful. So American Graffiti, happy number 45 to... it's not much of a movie, really. If you watch the movie, it's okay. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that it's a great movie. It's not a bad movie either. I mean, it's just a bunch of kids having fun, I guess, in the summertime right after they graduate from high school. So if you could associate with high schoolers... right after they graduate, then you'll enjoy the movie. But it doesn't have much of a plot. But the music was absolutely fantastic. And they did the right thing. Instead of going out and doing original songs, they just went back to the actual songs of that time. And that's why I think the soundtrack was so absolutely fabulous. American Graffiti, 1973. Well, I mentioned a minute ago that the generic vote, what we call the generic vote, this is when they ask people, what party would you like to see, who'd you vote for Congress? They don't talk about your particular member of Congress. They just say in general what party you would like to win the Congress. And, over the years, if one party has a big lead, that usually suggests that that party is going to do well in the midterm elections. But I mean, it's not as they say always true. But for the most part, you know, the so-called analysts follow this poll and look at that lead, and if it's usually in the double digits, it usually means that there's a wave one way or the other. For the last year, for much of 2018, this poll has been, the Democrats have been leading this poll sort of between 5 and 7, sometimes 8 points. That's sort of been the average. But right now, the average has dropped to about 5 because of a recent wave of polls that have it at 0, +3, +2 for the Democrats, which means that it's within the margin of error. Again, we don't know if this is going to hold until November, but the question is, why would all of a sudden these polls begin to change in a Republican direction when they're telling us that it's going to be a Democrat wave? I don't have the answer, and the experts don't either. But I think, again, I don't think anybody really knows what's going to happen in November. It's way too early to tell. But as my friend Barry Castleman, we're going to be talking with him during the election cycle here. As my friend Barry Castleman says, be ready for a lot of surprises, but not necessarily the surprises that you're hearing in the news, that it may turn out to be, in fact, a lot of things very different than what the so-called experts are saying in the news. And by the way, speaking of surprises, there may be some big surprises up in Minnesota this coming Tuesday. In fact, we'll be talking to Barry Castleman about Minnesota coming up in a couple after that particular primary on Tuesday. One of the big stories of the week is that Venezuelans are now reaching Ecuador, and this is creating, of course, quite a crisis for the country of Ecuador. How Venezuelans are reaching Ecuador is really incredible, because they got to go through Colombia to do it. I mean, Ecuador does not have a border with Venezuela, but apparently they're cutting through Colombia, the southern part of Colombia. They're cutting through there. I'm not familiar with that area, whether it's populated or isolated, I don't know. But it's quite a trajectory for people to take that trip. And now they're ending up in Ecuador. And, of course, the government of Ecuador is declaring some kind of an emergency, saying we cannot handle all of these people. But I think, you know, it all goes back to what we've said before. The problem here is the Chavez, now Maduro, regime in Venezuela. And until that government exists, these problems are going to continue. Sometimes Latin American governments like to play the, you know, we don't want to get involved, you know, type of attitude. You know, it's not our problem. Let them figure it out. But the problem with Venezuela is that the problem is spilling into Colombia, into Brazil, and now into Ecuador. And it's something I think the Latin American countries are going to have to do something about. China, as you may recall, for quite some time had been controlling its population, but now they're beginning to realize that they have a real demographic problem. They have too many young men. In other words, there's not enough young women. And this is creating, of course, the usual problems that it would create in any country. So China is now reversing itself and basically saying babies are a good idea. And there's a long article. I wrote a post about this over at the American Thinker, if you want to check it out over there. If you go to my blog, I reprint those American Thinker articles on my blog or Twitter. And the government of China is now literally saying that you know, having babies is a matter of national security, and they're going to be encouraging people to have babies. The problem, from what I understand from a friend of mine who's familiar with China, he says that companies in China do not have the kind of maternity leave, or very often women who have babies in China don't have a chance to get back in the workplace. So that's going to have to change. I mean, they're going to have to come up with some way of allowing women to get their jobs back or whatever, you know, once their maternity time is over. So this is something they're going to have to work out, because apparently a lot of companies don't have that in China. But the bottom line is that the Chinese have decided that having babies is a matter of national security. They're also facing another problem, which is Europe. Europe is having this problem too, and that is the aging of the population. I mean, when you don't have a normal demographic timeline, what happens is your population gets older, you have an imbalance in your genders, and that's what's happening in China. So we'll keep an eye on that. Well, thank you so much for listening. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you the next time. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.